This is HPR episode 2140 entitled, Vim Plugins I Use, and is part of the series, Vim Hints. It is hosted by BeEasy, and is about 27 minutes long. The summary is, in this episode, I talk about Vim plugins as I drive home from work.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, Hacko Purple Radio fans. This is BeEasy once again, signing in for another episode. Now, I'm currently working with Dave Morris on the GNU Arc series, but I figured I'd throw in a little extra show because I know we still need shows, and I wanted to try something new. Right now, I am actually driving at, I'll just say, the local speed limit. In my car with one of my headphones in and the speaker on, and I figured I'd try a mobile episode going directly into my phone through the just generic sound recorder app. And here we go. So please excuse me for if I have to get interrupted or for your beeps or screeches or I die in a car crash. Hopefully that won't happen, but I want to try something new. So here's my show. It's about my Vim plugins. Now this show is specifically for people who are interested in the Vim text editor. I'm a big fan of Vim. I almost write exclusively in Vim and hate when I have to use a word processor or a spreadsheet or some other type of way of documenting things that isn't in plain text. But I do it when I have to, but when I don't, I use Vim. And there's a bunch of things that I use besides the default installation of Vim. And I thought I'd share them because why not? And I don't know if I'm going to get to all of them because, like I said, I'm driving and I'm not going off of any type of script or anything. But I figured I'd try and do my best off the top of my head, see if I remember what I remember about my Vim setup. So a lot of what I do in Vim is obviously writing. I write a lot of notes in Markdown. I also edit a lot of text, including code and various data files, as well as CSV files and other delimited files. And I use a bunch of different plugins to make that process easier. So a bunch of the plugins that I'm going to talk about, and I hope I remember them all, but Tim Pope is an author of a bunch of them. So if you go to T Pope's GitHub page, I'm pretty sure it's just github.com/T Pope, you'll see a lot of Vim plugins, including Vim Repeat, Surround Vim, and probably some others. I'm not using Tim Pope's Vim Markdown anymore. Now I'm using Plastic Boys. So there we go. Already three. So Vim Surround, Vim Repeat, and I know there's another one, speed dating, and then, like I said, Vim Markdown, and there's another one called Vim Markdown Folding. Hopefully, I'll go back and listen to this and add all these things to the notes. But these are a bunch of plugins that I use almost every day. So surround Vim, or Vim surround, is a way of using, it's a, basically making shortcuts on putting text or some type of symbols to surround existing text. Some of this text includes parentheses, single quote, double quotes, brackets of all sorts, and it's very useful when you are coding or even working in Markdown and you want to, you have a group of text that's surrounded by single quotes and you want to change it to double quotes, or you have some text that's not quoted at all, or you want to put quotes around it, or put brackets around it, or put parentheses around it. That's the job of Vim Surround. Another one, like I said, is Vim Repeat. There's a lot of plugins that, I mean, there's a lot of native functionality that you can repeat and just by hitting the dot command. And then a lot of Tim Pope's little plugins work in a way where if you just use the native functionality, the dot command wouldn't work anymore. But being a great person, he also made a plugin called Repeat, Vim Repeat, and it takes a lot of his plugins and makes it so that the dot command works on them, basically turning a lot of the items into text objects and making it so that you can use dot to repeat the function, which is great. So I haven't even tried to use the Tempo plugins without Vim Repeat, because it just seemed, why would you not want that if you're going to use this? What else did I say? Speed dating is a way that, so a native functionality in Vim is a way that you can increment or decrement a number or numeric value by using Control A or Control X in normal mode. And I almost forgot, I wanted to give a little bit of a disclaimer at the beginning of the episode, that if you're not interested in Vim, I'm sorry, but it's very interesting to me, and so you could probably just, you know, skip this episode. But there's some people who like it, and including me, and there's a bunch of other people, so why not talk about it? Anyway, so going along with, oh look, I think I can stop driving and park now. Great. Parking lot at Costco, that'll work. So, along with Vim speed dating and surround.vim, I also use a plugin called Tabular, which is, and actually, I don't know why I still use two. I use align-vim and Tabular as ways to align text in different formats. So a lot of what I do in Markdown, I make tables, and to make the tables, I use the pipe delimiting tables and GitHub flavored Markdown. And to make it look nice in a text file, you can line up all the pipes together so that they look like columns. And to do that by hand is really annoying, and you could write your own macro to do it, but there's also the Tabular plugin that does it pretty easily. There's also the Align plugin that does a lot more. So I use the Tabular plugin the most because it's the most simple and the one whose commands I remember off the top of my head. But if you want to do a lot of complex aligning, where you want to go right justified, left justified, centered, using multiple or complex delimiters in between your columns, Vim Align is a better choice for you. But like I said, I don't use it as much as I used to, and I'm not quite sure why I still haven't installed. I used to use it when I used to do more programming that was not Python, but since I like to follow PEP8 pretty closely, I don't do crazy stuff with aligning assigned characters like you do in other languages where you want to line up all the equal signs in a row so that it looks all pretty. So I don't really use the Align Vim anymore, but I still haven't installed. What else? So I just switched from Powerline to Airline, which is a tool that controls your prompt at the bottom of your screen. So the regular status line and Vim is like the last two, one or two lines at the bottom of your terminal or GVim screen. Or if you're using a Mac or whatever, the iTerm, whatever you're using. It's the last couple of lines and you can control your status lines. It's a pretty way of and a pretty cool looking way of controlling your status line. Like I said, I just switched from Vim Powerline, which is kind of outdated now, to Airline, and I'm happy with it so far. It has a lot more options when it comes to theming and making it look pretty. So, you know, I didn't really need all the prettiness, but it's nice to have. It matches my regular theme that I use, which is Groovebox. So I have a Groovebox theme and a Groovebox Airline theme, and it looks really nice together. Once again, like I said before, I use Plastic Boys, Vim Markdown theme, which adds some extra functionality, including some extra leader key maps and ways of with short, quick shortcuts to adjust the header line. So if I want to go from an H2 to an H1 or vice versa, or going the other way, or turning a line into a into an image tag or a link tag, it's very nice. Another one that goes alongside of that one is Vim Markdown Folding, which adds some extra folding, like text folding functionality in Markdown. So I like to use the nested folding type folding type, which means that if I have an H1, you know, header one, and I have a whole bunch of headers underneath of that, subheaders underneath of that, I can do ZA and collapse them all down to just one line. And so sometimes when I have, like, I write all types of documents, sometimes the documents are a couple hundred lines long, and I can collapse an entire heading down to one line and have the whole file with all the H1s just there, and I can quickly just go down three keys and be at, you know, hundreds of lines down the file because it's all collapsed. Very nice plugin to use. What else can I remember off the top of my head? I have a plugin that manages, so it's probably going to be useless to most people, but I have a plugin that's for reading RDF syntax. Or so anytime if you're working with a semantic web, building ontologies or taxonomies, you work with turtle files, RDF, XML files, it just goes highlighting to those files, which is pretty neat. One that I just started using is a plugin called Vim CSV or CSV Vim, and it's a way of doing some cool highlighting and gives a lot of functionality using delimited files. So it'll automatically recognize different delimiters. So if it's a CSV file or if it's a pipe delimited file, automatically match those. And it doesn't have to be lined up, but it'll automatically color code the different columns. So if it's all, you know, if you don't format the file, different lines are going to be different lengths for a specific column. And you'll be able to easily, just by eye, see the different columns because it alternates color every other column. And it gives you functionality where you can move the entire column over. You can search going down in the column instead of going through the entire file. You can duplicate a column. You can delete a column. So some really cool functionality in that plugin. What else? Let me see. I use a lot of plugins, I just realized. Control-P is a great plugin for doing a fuzzy search on a file name. So you can do, you know, as the name of it implies, control P, and then start typing some text, and then the quick fix menu at the bottom, you'll get a list of files that fuzzy match that whatever text you typed. There's also control T, I don't use that one, but it's another one that's very similar. Another one I use is ACK-Vim, so I talked about in a previous episode, the command ack, and ackvim brings the ack command into vim. So you can just go colon capital ACK ack and then type in string, and in the quick fix menu below it'll do ack, and you can choose out of all the files that are listed below on the lines listed below, you can just check on them and click, I'll go down and click enter, or click S and click T and open up that file at that line in a new tab or in the same window or in a split window. So find that very useful, because I work a lot in, like I said, doing notes and stuff, and so sometimes I'll be in a directory and I'll just go, I know somewhere in this directory, or maybe I'm not in the directory I want to, I'll just CD into the directory I want to go into and then say, I know somewhere in the directory I wrote some notes about nmap, so I'll just go colon ack nmap, and then all the files where I have nmap in the text, I'll find it. One of the benefits of using plain text files is that indexing the text is very fast and built into Unix-like systems. I know you could do similar things in Windows, but you have to do like the whole indexing thing and then read all those binary files. So it's just easier to write in plain text. Okay, a couple more that I use include Python mode, because I do a lot of stuff in Python nowadays. And Python mode, especially if you have a newer version of Vim that's been compiled with Python 3 and you use Python 3 and you go into Python mode, you get to get basically an IDE type experience in Python. That within the combination of the next one, which is Ultisnips, which is another Python enabled way to bring in snippets. So I use Vim snippets and Ultisnips in combination with Python mode to get a IDE type experience and tab completion inside of Vim in Python. But Ultisnips works with a lot of languages and it's extensible, so you can add your own snippets to any language that you want to. Uses Vim's built-in file type detection to give you, you know, what you want to add in a specific situation. So, for instance, the shebang, or like the hash exclamation point, and then tab in a bash file, it'll put bin bash. If you hit tab complete at that level, it'll do bin bash following. If you do it in Python, it'll do user bin all Python. If you do it in other languages, it'll follow suit. So it is file type aware. And with Python, you get a lot of extra things, like when you're building a class or a def or a function, and you do like class and then tab or def class, it'll automatically put in doc strings for you to fill into. It encourages you to put in documentation and comment your code as you go, which is very nice. And you use Control B, I think, and Control Z to like go to the next place in your, the next stop in your tab completion. So if you go class tab, it'll go to the name of the class and you type in the name. If you Control B again, it'll go inside the bracket so you can say what arguments you want to pass. If you Control tab again, it'll go to the doc string. Control B again, it'll go to the init function and ask you how you want to initialize. Sometimes it's a little bit overboard when you're trying to do something simple, but if you're doing something really formal, it's really nice to have all that functionality. So a couple other ones from Tim Pope, NerdTree and NerdCommenter. So NerdTree, along with all those other things I've been saying, Python mode and everything else, really gets you into a nice little development environment. NerdTree puts a tree view on the left-hand side of your screen, so you can It's like a little file explorer in a tree format, so you can go through the files and the folders and pick different files and bookmark the different ones and open them in new tabs, open them in split windows, all from there. Nerd Commenter is a way to, it's a file type aware way of commenting your code, so you can click the same key combination and it will comment code in Bash and HTML and Python and Ruby and JavaScript. No matter what language you do, you can use the same couple of keys and it'll put in the right letters that are characters at the beginning of the line to comment it out. It's very useful. One more, I think it's by Tim Pope as well, is Vim Unimpaired. Very useful. It allows you to use a key combination of open and close square bracket and a letter to do lots of different types of functionality. For instance, if you're in, it depends on, once again, it's file type aware. It depends on what type of file you're in, but if you do, for instance, if you do back or open square bracket space, it'll put a space, it'll put a new line above your current cursor. If you do the opposite bracket and space, it'll do a new line after your current bracket, after your current cursor place. If you do open bracket B, it'll switch to the next buffer. It's the same as B next. If you do the other way, it'll do B previous. So it's a nice way of, and the reason why it's called unimpaired, it's a way that you can use, it's a lot of paired combinations of keys. So C next is control, is open square bracket C, and close is, and C previous is the opposite bracket C. You can do the same thing with there's a lot of different combinations, including, I don't know if this is built-in functionality or a part of the extension, where you're doing spelling correction. Open bracket S is going to the next word that's wrong. So, very useful. It actually builds upon a lot of the native functionality with the square brackets and adds a lot more items and context. Every once in a while, I have to go through and just do go to the help section, because I really like all these plugins, but I sometimes forget what they all do, or I find myself only using a small percentage of their functionality. So every once in a while, I'll go into the help and find some other nice little thing to do and do some more of that. Oh, and then one bonus, I don't use it on all my computers, but I use it on one, and that is VimWiki. It's a way, and I'm thinking about using it more. I'm thinking about replacing all the markdown that I do with Wiki, with DocuWiki. I think it's DocuWiki that it does. And it has a lot of key bindings to like make linking to other files and creating formatting very quick, but it uses, like I said, Wiki format. So if you do square bracket, and then type in text and then square bracket, it'll automatically make that into a link. And then if that file already exists, it'll link, it'll go to it. If it doesn't exist, it'll make it. I mean, just use the VimWiki stuff that I use when I keep a journal in VimWiki format, and I've been writing in it for the last maybe 6 months, and it really, like, I really love Markdown, but it's almost worth switching to writing in Wiki or MediaWiki because of VimWiki. I really enjoy it. It has a lot of good functionality with to-do lists, where picking a key combination will allow a to-do item to either go checked or unchecked, or if you put in the advanced version of to-do, it'll go from uncomplete to 25% complete to 50% complete to 75% to all the way complete just by toggling that button over and over again. It makes doing formatting and working with tables really nice. When you click tab, it goes to the next column. If you click enter, it goes to the next line in the column. It's really nice for in a lot of circumstances. And like I said, I just don't use it for everything, but it really makes me want to. I just don't want to reformat everything. It's probably one thing that's holding me back right now. And as one extra bonus, the plugin manager that I use is Pathogen. Just because it's easy, all you have to do is just git clone the different plugins into your .vim/bundle folder, or if you're using Windows, the vim files/bundle folder. And then what it basically does is it puts, I believe the way it works, at least the way it looks like it works, is that it puts, it has the same folder structure as the main .vim folder. So you have like a docs folder, which has your help file in it, and then it has the auto, the FT plugin, and the FT indent, and the syntax, and all the different regular files, folders in there. And I think it either does it or it pretends to basically do dynamic linking to those other folders, saying if I'm inside of, for instance, Python mode, and I see a folder called FTDetect, pretend that this FTDetect folder was in my regular .vim folder. And so treat it just like it was a part of a standard configuration of Vim. So it makes it really easy to manage, and I keep all my configuration in my Git repository, which, if I remember, I will reference in the show notes. But okay, this is my bonus podcast episode for this month. I will be continuing following up Mr. Morris on the AUK series, but I wanted to give this just because I was in the car driving back from a client, and I'm opening my garage now, made it home. So this is Be Easy, signing out.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.